Happy Tuesday afternoon, everyone. I have to scream because half of the meeting's in the very back row in the feature department. We have a few of the staff members from Indy online, and all the speakers, we're going to ask you to come up front. So we're also recording the meeting for those that couldn't attend. So welcome to all of you. Thank you for attending our spring 2024 staff meeting. I don't have anything up on the screen, do I? That would be helpful. Also, not plugged in. That'd be why. Technical difficulties. One moment, please. I'm used to running off of the computer up here. Okay, so it's not sharing over there.
Okay.
If it makes you feel any better, we can see it in the WebEx. So
you can see it in the WebEx, but yep. You can't see it in the room. Betsy. Betsy, save me. it's not showing up on the screen.
Windows B. Drop an arrows, do duplicate. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you much. Okay. Now we can see it in both places. Ray. Betsy is saving the day with tech support. Greatly appreciated. Okay. So now I think everyone can see and everyone can hear. Fantastic. So welcome, everyone. Greatly appreciate you taking time out of your super busy schedule to participate in the staff meeting for spring of 24. We're going to start out with Kyle sharing a value and making a point.
So I'm a big fan of our values personally because a lot of them are similar values that I try to carry in my life. And we usually talk about them with our team meetings in the shop, usually once a month or so. They told me to choose one to talk about, and it's a little tough to choose one. So I'm going to try. But I wanted to give you all five of them just up front so everybody's kind of just remembers them in reference. So the first one is persistently pursuing excellence, acting with integrity and compassion, collaborating within ME and across campus, foster a diverse, inclusive, respectful, and anti-racist environment, and provide service to all. So being an engineer, I tried to take an engineering approach to this. We usually talk about design for manufacturing a lot in our courses and in our labs. The way that process generally works is we identify a need, we design a solution or a product that addresses that need. We go through a testing period where we can edit and make changes to our designs. We build the product, and then a lot of people think that's where it ends, but actually we got to validate our work with a second testing period. And so through that validation, we can do some final edits before we build those products at scale to the masses. So I know that Purdue is a research-based university, but I think that all the staff members here, we're all here to try to help educate the next generation of engineers. So I think that's the excellence that we're trying to pursue. And the other values are the tools that we use to do that at scale. So for that reason, I wanted to focus on the excellence that we are pursuing. I like to think of the trains a lot at Purdue, and I think the beauty of a train is not just the whistle or the tracks or whatever. It's all the pieces coming together to make that thing move down the tracks. My grandpa used to say that. So I like to focus on those elements. So I wanted to take a few moments to highlight some of our pieces here in ME that help our train move down the tracks. It's easy for me to see Darren in and out throughout the week. He's usually helping all over the ME department with the renovation. Right now he's been working on some laser enclosures for some of the labs that are transferring over and stuff. It would also be really easy to highlight my wife, which I'm sure I'm a little biased. Mm-hmm. But she works with PACADA, and PACADA is an association that helps promote academic quality academic advising and professional development across campus. She's a committee chair there that helps award for outstanding work in academic advising. I'm trying not to be biased, though. I know Mike Sherwood also has a whole list of he probably left today because I wasn't feeling good. But he has a whole list of projects he's working on inside and out. And the clock in the atrium is still ticking. I checked this morning. I lost my place here. You know, the other advisors, they try to see 200 or more students in something like 8 weeks or something like that. And I know Brandon stays late a lot of nights to make sure the incoming freshmen understand the degree and stuff, so on and so forth. So I think that's a great piece of the puzzle. It's been fun to listen to music in passing during the 10 minutes of talent. So that's great that we actually have one of the students in our shop and in my lab that has a band, and she played last Tuesday at 9:30. So that's cool that Jared and you guys put that on as well. Obviously, the office, business office and the main office keep us up to date on what's going on in ME, all the happenings, as well as Free Food Friday, which we all love. And the eShop obviously has a lot on their plate, and they're kind of split between a couple of buildings right now between Munty and Tammy, keeping the labs running over Potter. And I know that they're servicing like record high numbers of students through the fluids lab, like 500 something. Correct. I know that that's a lot to try to squeeze in that small amount of time. So I think that's great work as well. Munty's on that crew as well. Steve and Bert keep all of our electronics running, including our computers and lab equipment and printers and all those things. Mike Black does more, I think anyone knows around here, and he's just so quiet that he just kind of slides under the radar to get his work done. And we all know Mike Logan is super involved with the renovation, and I'm sure we'll hear about that in just a few minutes. So a lot of pieces coming together. I'm sure I missed some people. I just talk about the ones I've seen in passing from a day to day. But all of us are pursuing that excellence. With that being said, I think all of that collaboration to serve and include everyone, it matters a lot to the students, to all of our coworkers here, and to the department as a whole. I wanted to leave one last thought on that. There's a guy I like to listen to. Darren and I have talked about him a couple of times. I listen to a lot of podcasts and keynotes. His name is Simon Sinek, and he has a keynote where he talks a little bit about Microsoft versus Apple, whereas Microsoft's trying to beat out Apple, and Apple's not even worried about Microsoft. He talks about infinite gaming, that if we're playing for first, then someday we might get there, but if we're playing to just be the best we can be as a department or as a company, we can get way further than we ever thought of just by not capping us off at first. So he talks about infinite gaming in that matter, and I think that's what we try to do while we're pursuing excellence. I know we're rising up the ranks, as Eckert pointed out in our email recently this week, or last week, can't remember. But I don't want to stop at just the one point. I think we keep moving forward and keep the train rolling down the tracks. So, thank you.
You mentioned the clock is still ticking, but who's going to change it for daylight savings over the weekend when it's spring break? Who's doing that?
Here.
You got it covered? You got people. Okay. Thank you very much for sharing, Kyle. Appreciate it. Next up, Betsy is going to share about events for spring of 24.
Upcoming, we have in a couple weekend or weeks, we've got Free Food Friday in honor of Pi Day. We're having pie. I know it's on March 22nd, but that's because nobody's coming on March 14th over spring break, so it's belated Pi Day. Following that, we have a 10 Minutes of Talent on March 26th. That'll be downstairs in the atrium. The April 23rd 10 Minutes of Talent, though, is not in the ME atrium. It is the unplugged section that will be upstairs in Railside, since we'll have the 263 poster show down in the atrium at the time. Then we have the April 26th Free Food Friday. It is going to be ice cream down in the atrium. It's our annual ice cream and popcorn one during De-Stress Week. April 24th, we have the Emmy Spring Recognition event. That's at LBC in the evening, 5:30 p.m. April 26th will be the Malott Innovation Awards. That's where the judges will come to town Thursday evening. We'll have the smaller poster show section. Then all day Friday, we have the teams that are going to get judged for their second round, and then the very large poster show. The very large poster show is not occurring in our building this year, though. We are sharing space with the college and doing a large one. Since the building is currently under renovation, we don't have space for our large poster show in building right now. So watch for more information on that once I know a little bit more from the college. And then May 11th, the undergrad and graduate commencement reception. We're having one large reception for both schools, both sides of the school, because both are now combined into one singular commencement the same day. So 4 to 5:30 p.m. In the atrium will be the commencement reception. And promptly at 5:30, the students go line up. And then the Emmy commencement is at 7 p.m. Any questions?
Thanks, Betsy.
Yeah.
Senior design maybe in the armory?
Yes, in the armory.
Okay.
But I don't know what time or what part of the armory is going to be ours yet.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't know that. Learn something new every day, right? Okay. Next up is report outs from our various different staff advisory committees. We're the overarching staff advisory committee is broken into three subcommittees. First is staff awards, second is connections and communication, and last is the staff leadership council. So to report out on staff awards, you can see our subcommittee members listed there. In the last time we had a staff meeting, we didn't have the College of Engineering awards finalized yet. We knew who the finalists were, but we didn't know who the recipients were going to be. So just in case you missed the 10 times that Jared announced this since December, this is where we ended up as the School of Mechanical Engineering. We had either a finalist or a winner in 8 out of the 10 categories. So that's pretty darn awesome. So congratulations to all of the people you see listed here that were finalists and winners at the college level in December. The next piece is that we are going to award the Emmy Staff Awards this semester. The due date for nominations is April 7th. So this is on the Emmy intranet. Has everybody been on the Emmy intranet? Anybody who's never been on the Emmy intranet? Okay, I'll show you later where it's at. We have mission and values awards, 5 of those. We give out one for each of the mission, each of the values. And then we have 4 staff awards of excellence, 1 for leadership and professional achievement, and 3 for customer service. We checked right before the meeting, and we had no nominations yet. It's going to be April 7th before you know it, right? So think about who are deserving staff members on the intranet page, who's eligible and who is ineligible because they've already won in the past couple years. So please nominate your very deserving staff coworkers for these awards. Next up is the Connections and Communications Subcommittee. Jared and Betsy, you guys can both talk about this if you want to.
Well,
who'd like to do it?
My name's Jared Pike. I'm the communications director for the school. There's stuff on the screen. You can read that, specific events. But I want to talk kind of more philosophically about why we exist and what we can do better, what we can do to maintain the Emmy family. Because the reason this committee exists is because we have people in the Emmy building, in Potter, in Wang, in Flex, in Herrick, at Zucro, at, what am I missing? MMRL, in Indy, our friends in Indy. How on earth do all of these people come together as one group, as one family? It's difficult, and it's even more difficult with the ME building being under renovation and everyone is kind of in temporary situations or working from home. We used to do this by events, and we still have events like the Free Food Fridays, the 10 Minutes of Talent, and you could see some. We're actually going to the Eclipse in Indianapolis on April 8th. Not shown here because I just heard about it, is Rube Goldberg, which is coming back to Purdue Saturday, April 6th in the Armory. And of Yuan Bay. Yes. And this summer event, you know, we've have done lab tours in the past. Now it's just kind of one event where you can bring your family. So we're still working on that. We're focusing just on what we can see rather than summer. But the point being, we've since discovered the best way to do this is not to have big, giant events trying to get – I mean, look what happens when you try to get everyone in a room. I mean, no offense to you guys in the back, but with – is this a picture of togetherness, you know? For those of you online, there's a row of people in the back. Way back. That's why I'm shouting. So this is what's happened. At least in the ME building. Stephanie and some others, they would just go outside and start talking to students, saying, hey, what's going on? How are you guys doing? And if they saw people looking sad, they bring out the popcorn machine and just say, okay, it's popcorn today, and just make everyone feel better. Just a little tiny initiative. I know Herrick does the same thing every Friday, right? They bring out food for the students. This is a thing that should happen everywhere. It should be happening in Flex. It should be happening in Zucro. It should be happening at MMRL eventually. Shouldn't need a committee to do it. You know what I'm saying? This should be a thing that we all should be thinking about. Okay, what's a thing I can do? Go outside of my just desk and normal job or whatever. Just make the environment a little bit nicer. We don't know what that is. It's different for every locale. It's different for every audience as well. This is the direction we're going in. Because, as we said, it's having large centralized things isn't possible anymore with COVID. And it's not appropriate because we are in different places. We all part of the same family. Every little step helps. I mean, you can tell. You can ask questions about the students that, oh, man, that popcorn costs 50 cents to make, but it just improved my day just to have a bag of popcorn. So, anyway, we're working on lots of initiatives like that. The newsletter was one of those that can go out once a month. How do you know about things like awards or 10 Minutes of Talent? Well, I put them out on social media, but not everyone here follows social media. That's probably why you're so happy. I have to because it's my job. But if you don't follow our social media, you don't know about these things. If you're not in the ME building to see posters, you don't know about these things. So we're also working on that, ways to inform staff of things, because it's a problem with the students as well. We use I tell people we use the shotgun approach rather than the rifle approach. We put a Facebook post and an Instagram post and a flyer and a website and put things on the TVs and word of mouth and, you know, there's lots of tools in our toolbox. We're going to need to use all of them to reach all of us, staff-wise. Zucro is going to grow by 100 more grad students. They have 190 grad students now. Here, it's going to be 290. So it's only going to get bigger. But we want to hang on to this, I don't know what you call it. The spirit of Purdue ME, we want to hang on to that so that even though we are separate geographically, we're all still on the same train, as Kyle said. And I, the communications director, am open to suggestions, even the smallest ones, of how to accomplish this. So if something pops in your head, hey, just let Jared know about it. Shoot me an email. And we're going to move forward with a lot of these little initiatives at first. So, I know we don't have a lot of time to yak about this
But if does anyone have any kind of questions about this specifically or about this idea? If you do, you can email me. We could talk about it. Any idea, no matter how big or small, is worth pursuing. So, yes, Tammy. Eckhart Grills.
Potentially.
That's a good idea.
What do you have in mind? Like, there's a group of faculty that will get together every so often on Fridays for happy hour. Always off-site. Like, we can certainly organize something similar for staff, right? So, but interest, you don't want to take, there's no requirement or anything, right? Because we're going into your private time and family time, but certainly we can, something like that, that's of interest. The Emmy social, what they call the Emmy social, is still happening once a semester at the end of the semester, organized by Pi Tau Sigma and ASME or the ambassador leadership. They had it before Christmas. They tried to get me out there. I think I had a conflict at the end. It was unfortunate, but I like to go, yes. And we can certainly advertise it to the staff too. That's happening typically the Thursday of like quiet week, I want to say. That's when they're doing it. Thursday or Thursday.
Something else we used to do, I won't say how many years ago, but inside the courtyard, we would actually, the students would grill.
Yes.
This is started on Labor Day time frame.
Yes.
Would be a welcome back to everyone together with students. I think Pi Tau Sigma helped with that as well.
Yeah.
We're a lot smaller.
So where can we grill nicely, right? Because that was a nice event in the courtyard. Then we decided we need a Gatewood wing and then filled it all in. And now we don't have a courtyard anymore, right? So, part of the original renovation project, we actually wanted to create a courtyard between the wing, the east wing running along double E, the middle wing. Right, where that ugly HVAC system is located, right? Take that all out and make a little room there, right? We need to create our own little courtyard again, yes.
We also wanted the rooftop bar, right?
Yes.
But not enough donors for that.
Not enough money, yeah.
Very quickly, before we go on, one thing Beth Hess recommended, which I'm looking into, we have ME students who are on the basketball team. Did you know this? Chase Martin, one of the basketball players, an ME student, who are on the swim team, who are on the volleyball team, who do motorsports. These are things that we need to show out in force to support our students. Beth told the story that one of our swimmers saw Beth herself went to a swim meet with a poster that said, you know, go ME or something like that.
He supports you or something like that.
Yeah.
You can't spell swimmer without ME.
Yeah, that's
right.
You made that sign. Stephanie Keller made it.
Way to go, Stephanie. But she told me that whoever, the swimmer, the student who was involved was so touched by it. That's something because, you know, who just goes to a swim meet just for the heck of it, you know? This is something we need to start to build into our culture.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen immediately, but over time. Yeah, Jonathan.
One of my students is on the swim team. I don't think it's the same one in this story. Would you like me to ask him if he'd be interested in being featured in the story?
Eventually. Okay. But for this, we're just talking about we want to come and support you.
Okay.
And it's the same thing for staff and faculty. We talked about Nicole Key is in a band. We could go see her play at the Sixth Street Dive. Yeah, go to Betsy's robot thing. She's there every Friday and Saturday. So these are things that, as I said, we want to start to build into our culture. And it's going to take time, but I think it's going to be a worthwhile thing. So, all right, Jared, talk no more.
Sure.
So another thing that's up there on the board, in addition to events, is we talked a year ago and again. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Indianapolis people. We talked a year ago and again at the past retreat that we wanted to pick up a service project as mechanical engineering, and we selected a charity here in town called First Robotics. There's actually 4 high school teams here in our county, and they will be competing at the Indiana State Championship, which is hosted by 2 of those teams right here in Tippecanoe County at Jefferson High School. That state championship is April 6th and 7th. And then up here on the slide are 2 different links, but we are looking for volunteers, and all this will come out in an email soon. But we need volunteers to do all kinds of things. If you want to serve food, if you want to judge for the awards, if you want to tell teams what time their matches are, point them in the right direction, if you want to check people in. And then there's also lots of other roles. Like, I want to sit in a quiet little room. Well, we have a quiet room that needs a quiet room attendant adult. So there's roles for everyone. And then if you are the type of person who doesn't have time to offer, there's also a link. You could donate money to help support that event as well. So there's 2 different ways you could help out. And if you ever want any more information, you're welcome to come talk to me. My team, I helped the team over at West Lafayette Junior Senior High School, and we won our event over the weekend, so we have now qualified and will be attending the state championship. Woo!
Thank you very much. Appreciate all the discussion around that topic. That's fantastic. Next up is report out on the Staff Leadership Council. So you can see our members on the side, and we have several different topics to talk about. They're all really fast, though, right? So won't need to take a whole lot of time. Wanted to start with the Emmy org chart. How many of you have seen this before? All right. Half-ish. Wanted to let you know that some changes occurred in the Emmy org chart at the beginning of this year. So Christina is now our development rep. Where's Christina? There's Christina. Raise your hand, Christina. So that was a change, early this year. We also added Purdue Indy to our org chart, and we added Alan Jones and Chris Finch as our Emmy site directors onto the org chart. There were also some changes in the cabinet. Marisol took a different role as the associate head for faculty affairs, and Stephanie Winder and the admins report to Marisol. And now Jared and Betsy report to me, so we moved some of the reporting structure around at the cabinet level as well. So just wanted to make sure that you were aware of this. This is out on the internet if you want to find it. Next up, one of the topics we always talk about in the Staff Leadership Council is staff hiring. So we talk about open positions and recent hires. So you can see the list of all the different open positions that we currently have across the school. Right now, we're actively interviewing for all of these. Mike will talk a little bit more about the open positions in Indianapolis when we get to the featured department section. We also are in the process of putting out a position description for an autonomous racing team operations manager that will report to Dan Williams. So those are all the open positions. We have hired a few people recently, all of which are going to introduce themselves at the retreat in August. We hired Suzanne as an administrative assistant and Herrick, and she is on vacation today doing something fun. So she couldn't attend. And we have our staff members in Indy that you can see listed here, Jess, Kelly, and Zach. Kelly and Zach are on the line today. They're going to introduce themselves in August as well when they become official Emmy staff members as of July 1st. So we're excited to welcome them to the team and have them participate in the meeting today. Also wanted to announce promotions that happened at the beginning of this year. So you can see all the people listed on the screen. These were all like within position promotions with same responsibilities type of thing. So congratulations to all those people that received a promotion at the beginning of this year. The promotion cycle for spring of 24 is happening right now, and submissions are due on Friday. So getting close. The next topic, just so you're all aware, is spring is performance appraisal timeline. So performance goals were already due. Self-assessments are due March 15th. Supervisor appraisals are due April 5th. And then the performance review meetings are due by May 22nd. There's a big gap in between the supervisor appraisals and the performance review meetings to figure out merit. That's why there's such a big gap in the timeline there. Okay, two more topics on this, and then we'll be done with the Staff Leadership Council. We have been working together with HR on a new onboarding process. We talked about this in the last staff meeting. That includes mentorships. So we have 9 mentor pairs across the School of Mechanical Engineering and even one ME person mentoring somebody in IE. That's Mike. It's a 6-month commitment, and we're doing monthly meetings. So most of them started late November, beginning December, January. So we're like halfway through the 6-month commitment. And as we hire new people, we'll be assigning mentors to them going forward. And then thanks to Herrick, especially Leah, for spearheading this new student recognition program. You know how we have our $10 staff recognition program? We're going to start doing that for students as well. It's going to work the same way. It's a $10 Amazon gift card. The admins at Herrick are going to administer the program, and we're going to start that in fall of 24, just so we kind of have a clean break in terms of a time frame to start. So we're excited to be able to recognize students with these $10 gift cards, the way that we've done with staff, and that's been really successful. And thanks to Stephanie Keller for administering that program here for us. Okay, so that's everything on the Staff Advisory Committee. So next up is Eckert to give us some school updates. We have 3 topics on the list: Purdue and Indy, the ME renovation, future development efforts, and there were no questions submitted in advance, but we'll open it up for Q&A after the topics.
No questions in advance. Huh?
Yeah, everyone wants to put you on the spot.
We called everything.
seems a quiet group. Yeah. Okay, Purdue and Indy. Let me start with the students. Roughly, let's say, give or take, 600 students are on a teach-out plan on the IUPUI curriculum that is still able to get accredited until they went through it, 22, 28, right? So we still have, 4 more years to graduate them. We're working with the faculty in Indy that, have been there from before to teach their courses. We still keep those courses that we need alive. The new students that are coming in that are of interest to us that are now our students, Purdue admitted 800 students for the ME program, roughly close to 800, and close to 180 or so to the motorsports engineering program, for which we will take over and are responsible for. So overall, close to 1,000 students that could come to Indy that have been admitted. We have no idea what the yield will be because we have no experience with that. We could take the yield at West Lafayette. If we have 800 students admitted, our yield is roughly 30% for the last couple of years. That means we will get 240 students. It's doubtful that Indy is as attractive as West Lafayette. I expect the yield to be less, but how much less is hard to say. I'm estimating maybe 200 students to start. I don't know. We're really having new, going on new ground there. Motorsports, we have no experience in West Lafayette, but we have experience in Indy. And in the past, the yield on motorsports engineering was higher than our yield here in West Lafayette. It's an attractive program with specific students that are applying, and then once they get in, they're taking it. Yield was closer to 40% in IUPUI in years past. So 40 of maybe 180 or so, you can, 40%, right? You can do the math, maybe anywhere between 70 to 80 students that could start in motorsports. To put that in perspective, in years past, they had about 40 students starting in motorsports engineering every year. So that's almost double. And that is a Purdue draw to the program. So that's clearly right there have been increased interest. So if you take 80 motorsports and 200 ME students, maybe close to 300 students that are starting that we're responsible for. Fortunately for us, we're not responsible yet this fall. Responsible is Bill Oakes, who runs the first year engineering program in Indy. All right, so for 1 year, we're running first-year engineering. We're still off the hook. We're jumping in the fall of 25 with our sophomore courses, ME200, ME270, ME290, definitely in the fall, but we may already have ME263 and ME274 on the books in case some people are accelerated, right? So that's what we will start. And so at that point, we have to have the ME instructors in Indy, right, that are teaching these courses, that are working with us. And then a year later, we're bringing the junior level courses online and the junior level instructional labs, right? So still have a little bit of lead time. But that's, and then by fall of 25, we also will know what the next class looks like that there has been admitted and how many will accept and so on. In general, we're driving Indy. What I mean by this, Purdue overall admitted 2,000 students to Purdue in Indy. This is the engineering programs, polytechnic, and computer science. Those are the programs that we're running in Indy. We have 1,000 of the 2,000, right? If we if ME wouldn't exist, they would close Indy down this fall, right? Kind of sort of, right? There are some programs that have no students starting that I know. Right? MET, for example, is one of one in the Polytechnic. The class was so small that they redirected everybody to West Lafayette. And so there's no students starting in MET in India. How they want to then sustain a program in the future or what they want to do is not clear to me. But lots of questions, of course. So that is a student situation, right? We're working very hard on bringing the instructional labs online. Right, for, like I said, the sophomore level instructional labs for fall of 25 and then the junior level instructional lab for fall of 26, right? So that's, we'll see, how all of that works, right? We have some staffs, in Indy, but it's still a little bit of a mixed bag. We have open positions that Julia mentioned, right? We're trying to find some new ones. We'll see, how many will really, still be there this fall when the true transition, happens, right? There's a little bit of concern, but we have some commitments of people that want to stay. So, that's kind of, the situation in Indy. It's a mixed bag for us. We're also looking very carefully at the space that we need to do all of this. I will go down to Indy after spring break. To have a meeting with Dallara. We're actually hopeful that we can move the entire motorsports engineering program to the Speedway. That may be an opportunity. That could be very exciting, right? We'll see if we get the facilities that we need in Speedway and go from there. So there are some things that could be really exciting for us that could really change the landscape, but there's some other things that I'll still need to be sorted out. Questions on Indy? Yes, please.
The 5-year motorsports in Indy?
Yes. Yes, we're doing that too. We're doing the 5-year dual major between motorsports and ME. And we'll also do a 4+1. Both for ME and motorsports, but the plus one is it's an integrated BS/MS degree, but the MS will strictly be MS/ME. So you can do motorsports plus MS/ME or BS/ME and MS/ME.
we're doing those programs as well. Yep. Like, what am I missing on Purdue and Indy from your perspective, right? He's working already very hard at the instructional labs, and we sent the bill to the dean's office. They said they give us the money. We'll see if it really comes, right? Nancy, yeah, we're getting the money for all the equipment we need to buy. It's a long list. It's over $2 million or so, right? That's, right? There's a lot of money that will go across the table to make investments into Indy. We'll hope the university will come through on their promises.
Get everything, except maybe the
panic at times. Yes. Frustrating aspect for me is, right, we're still running a school of ME in West Lafayette. And we're doing the Indy as 100% add-on. There is no, real help from Purdue West Lafayette on doing this, right? I had two meetings this morning, one space related, one course related, right? That is all coming, and it's no different for anybody else that works on Indy. It's just an add-on to actually what we're normally doing here in West Lafayette. And so my biggest concern these days is always what is not getting done in West Lafayette, because there's only so many hours in a day, and right, and we have this additional significant add-on that we need to tackle and bring online, right? And sometimes Purdue administration just thinks it's maybe no different for you, but the time is endless and we can just use more, right? But we all know that time is limited. So any comments on Indy? I can talk about other things like faculty assignments. That's all moving forward, right? We have, at the end, when everything is said and done, four faculty will join the School of ME in West Lafayette while located in Indy. Two are clinical professors of practice, two are tenured faculty. Just to put this in perspective, we evaluated overall 24 cases, four were clinical, so there were a couple of clinical that didn't make it in. There were quite a few on tenure track that didn't make it in, right? And so we have, in addition to the four that will be, actually has one fifth one, but that has tenure home in materials engineering and a partial joint appointment in ME. So I should not dismiss that. So there's actually maybe three faculty on tenure track, tenure that came into ME. But then we have 15 that have tenure with the university school in Indy that will receive courtesy appointments with our school. And those 15 will be available to us to teach the students on teach out plan. So going into this fall, I really have 19 instructors for teaching courses in Indy on the teach out, right? Because we're not on the hook for our student yet. That will happen a year later, as I mentioned. So the four that are in our school that come into our school are five, right, with the 25% appointment, right? That's a small fraction, but the four main ones come. Those are the prime people that will start, or so will help us teaching then our sophomore courses starting in the fall of 25. So we're not starting at zero. We have those four definitely available to teach our sophomore courses. But we need more help, clearly, right, to get this off the ground. Okay. Any renovation? We have people that are in the renovation building here much more often than I am. Pam goes over there, right, every so often. Mike is in the building. The good news is, so if you want details on what it looks like, right, maybe talk to them. But the good news is we are ahead of schedule, slightly ahead of schedule. Everything is indicating that construction is completed before spring break next year, basically right now, a year from now, right? That means we can already go back into the building over spring break. I will open up. We will not move instruction. Logically, we're not moving instruction in the middle of the semester. All the instruction will continue to happen in places where it is. That's the classroom, it's the instructional labs and everything. But we could potentially, and we'll develop a plan, start moving offices back into the building by starting spring break. We could start potentially moving some of the research back in the building that will move back. There's limited research that will move back some things, but that could potentially happen. The main move, bringing the building truly back full online, happens in the summer of 25. Really, right? That's when the instructional labs come back. That's when we take full occupation of everything again. So we'll see how well that serves us. But it seems to be going well. Mike told me the other day there were 20 or so change orders. So this is when you go into the building, have a plan of renovating, you're taking something out and finding there's something else behind the wall than what you envisioned. Then you need to change things up on the plans. All of that still was handled within the budget of $25 million that we set up for the project. So at this point, we're still looking good on that as well. We'll see what else we find at some point before that price tag goes up. But considering how far we're down the road, I think it all looks pretty good. Got a point to Mike again. Mike, what am I forgetting?
So just add on a little bit. If we can keep the change orders minimized, that will make both Edgar and Nancy happy to get money back.
There you go. I like money back.
So in this case, it was, I think, $750,000 for contingency. Most of the point has been that they thought money there. We're at the project itself. Almost complete. No air handlers left in the attic. All been removed. Walls are gone. We've actually started framing walls back. So some of that is part on the ground. A couple of weeks of walls. Got done leveling the floor.
I'm going to keep talking. You're going to have to come up here. People online can't hear you.
So officially for everyone who's online, renovation's looking wonderful. Everything's really on target. We're hoping to have parts of it done as early as September, according to the timeline. They're starting on the third floor, and they're hoping that will be complete. Not available to us, but the work complete at the end of September, with substantial completion of the building at the end of February of next year. We are planning to do work in the other areas that are not part of the scope. We've started this with Pam's group already, trying to make the offices a little bit nicer, patching, painting, adding a little bit of color, trying to remove the Purdue number 2 color from everything. So I got at least one laugh out of that. But Pam's group's working on that. So even though we'll have substantial completion and partial occupancy in March, really want to hold off moving everyone until May. For some exceptions, we'll be able to open spaces, move a few people that have to move at that point, but nobody wants to move at the middle of a really big semester. They'd rather wait till the summer. So are there any questions about the renovation itself?
So we also have started looking at who moves where. And so we had our first meeting. We created a plan, and it all looks pretty good. We'll share that with you right at some point. I don't know what your timeline is on that, but we'll try not to disrupt too much. So right now, for example, we're keeping the advisors where they currently are. Right? So we will not be moving back to the, 2008 suite. We're going to use that suite differently, right? So we're thinking about some of those decisions, and if you'd like to know where you're going to be located, you can certainly reach out.
For the record, right now that's top secret because there are a lot of faculty members who really want to know where their new office is. That is probably the most contentious thing I've ever had to deal with.
So I spelled secret.
Well, we didn't tell it was faculty.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that something that is the equivalent of a boardroom?
So, yes. It is not quite as nice if you like the 80s era carpeted walls and the like. The classroom 2004 used to be a SMAS room. That will be a departmental classroom seminar room. What we do with it, how we use it, is completely up to us. Right now, it's a small conference room that's being used for all the construction meetings. Soon to be a construction office.
So do we want to do a little bit of a modification of that room?
Little might not be the word I would use.
Major.
Significant.
Significant.
Go ahead. I think we'll want to dress it up a little bit.
Yes, I think so too.
Rolling overhead projector in there anymore?
No.
So ITAP had took the projector, they took all their furniture, they took all their equipment, and they left a hole in the ceiling.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, great. Thank you. Last update I would like to give. How am I doing on time? Okay.
Yep.
Last update I would like to give is on development efforts. And we have Christina there. She was introduced earlier, right? She's the main go-to person for development. Would like to mention that the College of Engineering changed the development world. So there are now 3 executive directors serving the college, and they're all reporting to one associate vice president. Do I have that right? That is Andrea McIntyre for the College of Engineering. And so this new role of the 3 executive directors is new as a position, but that means that in the previous we had Scott Bansfield in ME as a chief development officer reporting to the main person in the college. That has changed. We now, in the schools across the entire college, we have the development directors. They're reporting now. They're aligned with certain executive directors who then report to Andrea, right? So that was changed. In general, the idea is that all of these development directors, and it's a group of 20-plus people or so, is that right, Christina, right? Are not assigned to any particular school anymore. So Christina is the main liaison for ME and is the go-to person for ME, but even she has responsibility across the college. And all not so much.
I can add to that a little bit. So yep. Our group has 5 areas that we're responsible for, and the other 2 groups have their group of schools. So we do EEE, civil, ME, AAE, and construction engineering management. So that's our.
So it is only within that group, because I received conflicting information sometimes, right? So so the executive director that Christina is reporting to is overseeing theoretically ME and civil. The reason why civil was added is, to some extent, is the Herrick Labs, which are a collaborative effort between ME and civil, the architectural engineering group, and then Aerol. And Aerol because of the Zucro Labs and the strong overlap there between ME and Aerol. So there was some logic that they grouped those 3 schools. Now, when we talk about civil, there are the 2 divisions that sprung out of civil that are kind of aligned with this, which is construction engineering management and EEE, the environmental and ecological engineering. But they're a small program with very limited alumni. They're really the 3 main schools that were grouped together were ME, civil, and Aerol for that reason. And so, and all of the development directors in this group then, I guess, have main responsibility for these 3 schools. But still, the idea is that there's better communication across the entire college. And so what the development team from the college is doing right now is having meetings at each of the departments or schools to learn about them. Right? So Arrow, for example, is on March 18th, right after spring break, where they give a show and tell. We are scheduled for May 13th. So all of the development folks within the college will come to ME. We give them a show and tell about ME and the opportunities or the priorities, right, the fundraising priorities that we see that we want to move forward. With that cross-fertilization and information flow, they're hoping that that overall for the college we can do better, right? It's a new structure. We'll have to see how well it works. On our main priorities, right? We have some base priorities that will never go away. We were always fundraising for student scholarships. We were always fundraise for graduate fellowships. We will always fundraise for professorships. Professorships are now have evolved a little bit. We're not just looking for named professorships. For full professors, we also have fundraised significantly for mid-career professorships, maybe senior assistant professors, young associate professors, right, that we want to tie to the institution, that we want to reward, that on a fast track through the system. So those are some. We always trying to raise money strictly for our operation, right, like discretionary funding, right? So I think those priorities won't change. They will not change in my lifetime and not for a long time because the needs are always there. What's driving me and me as position of head, what I would like to see is facilities, right? I still think we need to do much better on facilities, right? And so I came in and I wanted to do the ME building renovation, and we heavily fundraised for that, and we're doing part of it. It's still not done. We still need to renovate the wing. The east wing that runs over right to long double E. We still need to renovate the third floor, and we still need to do some renovation on the middle wing even at the end, right? So more to be done. We'll see. But the main priorities right now on renovation is research related, right? The legacy building at the Herrick Labs called HERL, if you're familiar with that, right, needs to be replaced. There's no interest by the university to put any more money into that building, which is in desperate need of renovation, but they're saying they're just keeping it alive until a new building can be built. So we will need to fundraise for replacement of the HERL building. The zoo collapse against ZL9, which I will house the new air compressor plant, which is a significant upgrade. If you're familiar with Zucro, the old air plant was in ZL2. That building then becomes quasi-obsolete. Everything that's currently in ZL2 will move into ZL9, and they don't need. But ZL2 has a machine room and heavy equipment and all this stuff. We want to convert it to lab space. And there, too, there are... We're going to do a planning study. Are we tearing it down and replacing it with a brand new building, or are we renovating the existing building to be determined? But ZL2 is a prime necessity for us. And then we need to further invest into MMRL, if you're familiar with manufacturing and materials research laboratories, a new enterprise, right? Six of our faculty will move into that building. It's out, as part of the old State Farm building, right, where Northwestern is Sagamore Parkway at that intersection. We're building this up as a major research facility with significant input from ME. We need to make further renovation to get everybody in. It will become an operation like the Herrick Labs, like the Zucco Labs, all focused on advanced, or as AJ Marshall likes to call it, convergent manufacturing. Right, with many different aspects of the manufacturing world. It will be multidisciplinary, i.e. materials, other disciplines will be in the building. Officially, it's a College of Engineering, building, but ME has a very stronghold by having the most faculty there. Right now we're moving 6 faculty into that building, and that still requires additional. So those are some very expensive projects at different levels that we need help with. And by needing help, college level, even president's level, right, need to help us to get all of this off the ground. But it's all needed and it's all happening. And I haven't even started talking about development efforts for Indy, right? But I'll let the university drive that. That will come in a few years down the road. Any questions on that?
Right now, does our ME development team have any oversight for Indianapolis, or?
Has that come up in your discussions yet? No. So just to give you an idea, I think Purdue signed a lease in Indy for at least the next 5 years, maybe longer, to occupy the space that has been occupied by the programs that we're taking over, right? So they have an engineering and technology building. We will have that building, right, for a while, and it has instructional labs, it has offices, it has research space and stuff, right? So we can operate at this. But ultimately, these buildings are IU buildings, from what I've been told. And so we're leasing them from IU. And from my perspective, or again, what I've been told is that Purdue has plans ultimately to build a campus in Indianapolis, right? So that means Purdue office buildings, like classroom buildings, instructional lab buildings, right, research space, the whole shebang, dormitories, right, the cafeteria, you name it, right, building their own campus. It's a significant investment. Don't ask me where the money is coming from, how they're going to pull this off, but that was the plan when we took it over, that we put our own campus into Indianapolis, right, over time.
ME is going to have a presence over in the Bottle Works area over by Mass Ave, because there's something from Purdue going in over there as opposed to on the, like, Michigan Street, traditional IUPUI campus.
Nobody has mentioned anything to me yet.
I've just read some stuff about it. But.
Okay. Yeah. I can follow up on that. I've not heard it yet. Yeah.
There's a sign up I saw this week. Again, just
at
Purdue University
down
there.
Okay.
Yes. Is there going to be a shuttle service in between?
Yes. There was a survey on the details of the shuttle service that we desire. There will be a shuttle service between the two campuses. We'll see how regular it runs. The initial proposal is that it runs every hour during the day, every hour in both directions. So that's a significant investment, right? That means they're running from 8 to 5 or something, 9 shuttles per day or so in both directions. Something like this. I don't know, right? Not certain if that's really what's needed, right? But some type of shuttle service will be provided. Yes.
Any student organizations like moving down there for chance? Like one that comes to mind, the motorsports programs down there are like the ME race teams that are formula and all those. Are they going to either have their own student organization down there, or are they going to share? Or how is there any going to be?
Set? Yeah, these are very good questions, and we'll see. I mean, students' organizations are driven by students, right? We don't really push them, right? They're self-organized. At this point, we're going to keep the SAE car teams in West Lafayette in the foreseeable future. What happens in the long term is to be seen. We don't want to duplicate efforts, right? We would then find a way to shuttle students back and forth between the locations where they are, right? Some student organization may duplicate, right? So
But because we're just one ME program, the program that are under official student competition, right? Usually they only allow like one entry per school, per department, right? We couldn't quite often actually just one entry per university, right? So we couldn't even start a second SAE competition team in Indy, right? Under, like our umbrella. We will only have one competition team, right? That does the national competition, but we could discuss where it's located. At this point, we're keeping those here, but if we start something new or strategic, right, we might have it there. But the students there certainly want to have access. So I could see that the motorsports team, for example, starts participating in the go-kart races, right, in the Purdue Grand Prix, both the gasoline and the EV, right, and they will have student organization that will be in Indy, right, organizing themselves and participating. Yeah.
Well, to add on to what Andrew was saying, we are actually inheriting a fair number of student organizations from the IEP Life program. They don't currently do the SAE Formula Baja, which is actually kind of nice for us. We don't run into that conflict that Eckerd mentioned. But they do have motorsports teams and other competitions that are running. So Christmas should be the best contact for that if you're really curious.
I was just curious how this would work from a synergy standpoint between having motorsports kid, I would think they want to be part of SAE.
I agree. We agree with that. So in general, there will be, especially initially when we ramp this up with a small number of students, we need to worry about, shuttling students in the evening. That's maybe to some extent more important than even during the day, so that they have access to these activities here in the West Lafayette campus. So that's something I'm definitely worried about.
More questions for Eckerd? We have time for like one more.
Anything goes now. Open question. Doesn't have to be related to the updates. Any other concerns you have? Anything you'd like to know from the head's office, Purdue administration?
Still having fun?
Yes.
Mostly?
No, it's... Yeah. Let's put it this way. School of ME is doing extremely well in all of this mess. Right? So if you look at where we are campus-wide, right, we still have the largest research expenditures per faculty member across campus. Right? That puts us in a very strong position. We're not the largest undergraduate program anymore on campus. Computer science is larger, and there's one of the management degrees is larger. So we're number three currently, but still number three, right, is certainly with 2,000 undergraduate students in the BSME program, it's sizable. Once we have 1,000 students in Indy, we will be the largest again. So, so we're very well positioned. Lots of things are going extremely well for us. We're getting compliments across the college at all of the awards, right? Like the staff awards, we're doing extremely well. Now the faculty awards will just soon be announced. Jared already knows the results. We're still leading the pack. And, maybe if you allow me for one more minute, right? So, Arvin, the dean, has initiative called 38 by 38. I don't know if you have heard about this, but he wants to, select 38 College of Engineering alumni that are 38 years old or younger and have achieved, some significance in their professional life. This is triggered by the fact that Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon when he was 38 years old. And so what do other alumni have done by the age of 38? So all of the schools were asked to nominate people. School of ME nominated 36 or something like this, like close to 40 people. Next school
number of nomination was 18. That's what we do in ME, right? And we're known for that. We're nominating very good people, like across the board, staff, students, alumni, faculty, right, for the things they deserve. And that carries a lot of weight in the recognition we're getting across campus. So now, overall, college has received 144 nominations. So we'll see how many of the final 38 selected will actually be MEs. Be interesting to see how that fares, but my hope is a significant number. We'll see. So thank you for everything that you do for the School of ME. I greatly appreciate it. We're doing well. I'm still having fun.
Okay, good. Okay, so we have two more agenda topics, our featured department and then updates from each of the departments. Can you do this in 7 minutes or less?
Sure. Technical services, the ECHOP is featured. They're great people. Next. Oh. Tried. So first of all, technical services is a really large group. Right now we're just focusing on our instructional support group mostly. So the electronic shop and our new staff we're going to be getting down in Purdue Indy. But I wanted to show just how broad this really is. So if we look at this, we have the electronic shop with Steve. The initiatives that we talked about between the renovation, the MMRL project, Purdue Indy, I have leaned very heavily on Steve, and he's not happy about it, I'm sure, but I appreciate it. I've also, we've seen right next to that's Mike Sherwood. He handles all of our capstone design. He's been in many of those exact same meetings, trying to get all the documentation we've had to get for all of these big projects. We have Purdue Indy, which is a nice team that's forming to duplicate not only what we do in West Lafayette, but also maintain what we have to do in IUPUI. Eckerd's focused everything. Oh, we've got until next year, 25. We don't have to do it. We actually are looking at the tech services side as we've got 900 IUPUI students we now have to be responsible for. We have to do the due diligence for them to make sure they complete the program. So we have to start July 1. So we're working through that right now as well. We have our machine shop with Darren. I lean very heavily. He has been heavily involved in all of these initiatives. I just want to say thank you for that. Out at RMS, Adam Frischbaum has taken over as our manager to help run that facility. And finally, Pam Grass, who has taken off already, she had to leave early. She has done immense amounts of work. This is kind of the core leadership team for tech services between June and myself. We're going to, again, focus mostly just on the eShop today. So basically, they support all the computer labs and all the instructional labs at the West Lafayette campus. I've already warned Steve he might have some issues at the Indianapolis campus as we roll this up as well. He told me I wasn't in the right room, but it's appreciated. They actually support research as well. So with Bert, he does a lot of work for researchers. Some of the equipment he's had has flown on the ISS as well as the Vomit Comet. So we've got some really neat stories in-house as well. There was a great write-up in the newsletter recently for him. I highly recommend you look at it. Moving on, we do poster access, keys, access control, as well as web development. So we have Yashoda, who is added to our group for that. Hiring in Indy. If you know people, please help. Currently have Jess. He is in the motorsports program. We've met and chatted. He will officially join us on July 1st. We are looking for a support manager similar to what Steve does, as well as a support engineer similar to what Tammy and Monty have done. We've tried cloning. It didn't work. But that, I mean, it's, we really are looking for really high quality people. So the staff itself. This is the eShop. So we have Steve Kessler. You can read through his interests, but he is nearly finished with a second bachelor's degree, along with what you read. He plays golf really well, a little better than I do, so I kind of have to give him a hard time for that one. He has kids, very good. I'll let you read that. Ooh, learning to drive. I'm sorry, Steve. Steve really helped put this together for me. I ran out of time, so he should be the one up here doing this, but I agree too. So we have Bert Grammelspacher. He graduated from Purdue just a few years ago. He went to work high school with electronics. He ended up working at CTS. They downsized about 19 years ago. He joined us. We have been very happy to have him. The students absolutely love working with him. So he enjoys working with the students. He remembers when he was a student here doing this, I think. So, and if you read the last line, you understand why I said that. That's one of his favorite things to do. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with Bert. So we have Tammy Armstrong, a person who actually trained me way back in the day. So all the complaints, it's her fault. But she's been here since 97. All but 10 of those years have been in ME. She manages a lot of the instructional labs. If you ask the faculty, she is indispensable. She takes care of mostly the heat transfer and fluids areas. Enjoys gardening in the summer, knitting in the winter. And she just finished her bachelor's degree from Purdue Global. So everybody. So she has two boys as well. One's an electrician who works with Purdue teams and has worked in our building. So I do have an update from Mike Black. This was sent to me too late for me to be able to get it in here. And it is quotes from Mr. Black. So he joined mechanical engineering in fall of 1984, and for some reason he's still here. I am quoting this. So in his free time, he enjoys traveling, hiking, kayaking, as well as researching the prehistory around the Lafayette area. He is a very avid kayaker and has found a lot of Indian pottery along the Wabash River. Really interesting thing is he's taken it upon himself to learn the expertise of the methods they use to create pottery. And he has actually created pottery and replicated their processes. I have told him he should write a book, and we all should say he ought to write a book on this. He has really got that level of expertise. Mike's been a great friend of mine for many years. So I can pick on him like that as well.
Unknown caller.
Of course.
It's Mike.
Yeah. That would be someone back there saying, hey, can you be quiet now? So moving on, Yashoda is one of our newest hires. She is our web developed content specialist. She is really doing a lot of the application development on the back end. So outside of her professional endeavors, she finds solace in the simplicity of walking, yoga, and exploration reading. We are helping her need that ability to find solace with all the workload we've added. But we are very, very happy to have her here. Again, she takes great pride in Purdue parents. So what was your... son, was it your son who graduated? You're a Purdue parent, I was going to ask. Well, you can see that he's sitting in the back. So we've added Muncie, who's a support engineer, has a BS degree from Wright State University. It's actually where my late wife went to school as well. Several years of experience in various industries before coming here. He is a support engineer, mostly supporting the controls labs, 365, 375, some of the electronics as well, a little bit with Capstone Design. He is an electrical engineer by training, so I have a nice soft spot for that, being a double E myself. So there's nothing really good on the personal side other than a chance that... Well, I will give a really easy one. He actually came to the staff awards, brought his wife and his two kids in support of everybody who was nominated. So it's a great family and very nice to support everyone.
His kids are.
Exactly. So this is the electronics shop and the instructional lab support team. I am incredibly proud of everybody in this group. Any questions? Get done in 7 minutes?
Close.
I'll take the cookie then.
Nine. Okay, thanks, Mike.
I assume we don't have any additional updates from the head's office from Eckerd or Victoria. True. Todd is not able to attend and didn't send me an update, so we don't have any updates from lecturers or motorsports. So that leads us to Brandon for the undergrad office. Can I come up here?
I'm over, Julia.
We only got 9 minutes left, so you get 1 minute.
Come over here, all the way over here.
This is where the microphone is.
It gets me out of trouble.
So wanted to give a big shout out to the undergrad advising team, because we have, what, about 1,500 students that they've been advising over the last several weeks. So I just wanted to give a big shout out to them and the work that they do. Big update that I have for the larger staff here today is regarding a recruitment update. So just on February 19th, we received our list of T2M students, or students who selected ME as their first choice major and hope to begin officially in the fall semester. And we had 691 students select ME as their first choice major. So of those 691 students, 25% of them were female. So that's up 1% from last year. And 15% are underrepresented minority students. So that's up by 5% from last year. So we're continuing to grow as a school, and opportunities that our Women in Mechanical Engineering Task Force, as well as our Diversity Task Force, have worked on has really contributed to that growth. So just wanted to give shout outs to those teams as well. So that's the information that I wanted to share very briefly today, but happy to field any questions that you all have as well regarding recruitment or undergrad office. All right, hearing none, that was simple enough. Thank you.
Kathy, are you going to share for Xiaomin? Sure.
So for the grad office, about a week and a half ago, we just did our annual recruitment visitation. Want to thank everybody who helped us out with that. We can't do this without you guys' help, especially all you guys out at the remote labs and everything, getting our break rooms and everything together for us. So we really appreciate your help on that. We had 49 students that came to our visitation from all across the country. Out of those students that very weekend, we had two of them accept our funding offers. 16 students from our survey have given us positive feedback. We felt that our visitation went very, very successful this week. Five students said that NEES funding, Purdue's funding, was the best funding that they had received, funding offers. So Purdue is very competitive with what we are offering our students, as opposed to across the nation, coming from Stanford and MIT and all those good places. Our fall admission updates, to date, we have received 1,644 completed applications. 1,308 of those are internationals, and 366 are domestic students. We've sent out 109 funding offers. That's with fellowships, RAs, TA fundings. We've had 29 who have accepted so far, and those offers keep continuing to come in. Xiaomin has been working with ETS, which is a reporting service that we use. They are promoting our graduate programs for us. She did a webinar just Tuesday with students in India. They're getting ready to do another one. And then here pretty soon, we're going to be doing some with our Chinese students online. So that's some of the things that's going on in the grad office.
Thanks, Kathy. Nancy, do you have any updates from business office?
The budget's all perfect.
Okay, we'll take that. And Mike, I assume you don't have any additional updates for technical services?
Unless you want to hear about scheduling spring break, having a big machine.
Old pass. Okay. Administration and communications. We already talked about our updates on hiring a communication assistant. Christina, did you like to give any updates on development? Okay. And Scott wasn't able to attend from Zucro. Leah?
Just a couple of sentences I would share. So great stuff happening at Herrick. So one thing I would highlight is that from 2023 to 2024, we continue to see growth in our research community at Herrick. We had 325 researchers active at Herrick in 2023 and 370 this semester. So we see almost 45 additional researchers. So as Eckerd shared, we are looking at our facilities and how we can appropriately accommodate that growth and the robust research that's happening. About $16 million of research happening at Herrick each year, and half of it in the HERL building. So focus on that is what's happening at Herrick.
Okay, thank you very much, Leah.
Okay, look at that. We have 3 minutes to spare. Any other last-minute questions, comments, thoughts? Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you being here. There are more cookies. Grab a cookie on your way out.
Well, you're twisting my arm.
Thanks, everybody online. See you later.
Of course. Goodbye. And be well.